I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women.
Here's the snap. Back to pass. Blitz coming. Wide open, Ray Davis. 45-50. 45-40. Still on his feet. He's going to go. 20-10-5. Touchdown, Ray Davis. 63 yards.
Chris Brown's call of the Ray Davis big play. Bills get the win. They are 7-2, which marks the best mark, the best nine-game start under Sean McDermott with these Bills. They were 7-2 back in 2020 as well. To the Western Hotline to talk with Chris Brown. Chris, as you're getting ready to call that 61-yard field goal attempt for Tyler Bass, you know, it's kind of a beautiful moment. I feel like Bills fans ride this ride with the team, follow the team very closely and the players, and everybody would have known what that field goal meant, not only for the game, but for the player as well.
Yes, and you kind of felt like, sure, there are always naysayers that, you know, get disenchanted with a player that's struggling and, well, get rid of the guy, get him out of here, get somebody else. And I think there's a strong faction of Bills fans where if you've put work in and you've helped this team before, they'll hang with you and pull for you. And I kind of felt like there was a strong faction of Bills fans pulling for Tyler Bass to pull himself out of the struggles that he's had stretching back to late last season. You know, it got to a point where, you know, they had a practice squad kicker on this roster 2 weeks ago just to serve as a little extra motivation. And we've said it on our show on One Bills Live, just to quote Sean McDermott, when Tyler Bass is right, he's a weapon for this football team. And we haven't seen it in a while, but we saw it at the end of the game yesterday. He's a weapon for this football team, and he's now 9-for-9 in the last minute of the fourth quarter in overtime on field goals. And it's the second time he sunk the Dolphins, because he did it in 2022 in that December game where it started snowing at the end. Kicked the game-winning field goal there. Granted, it was only 25 yards, but he's put them to bed a couple of times now.
Bills get the win. Your overall take on the game coming out of it, it was a back-and-forth affair. First half looked a lot different than the second half, and both these teams were able to work the ball down the field with the run, with the pass. We saw long drives from both squads.
Yeah, the second half, things kind of picked up precipitously, and Eric and I on the broadcast were even talking about how the end of the game looked like the start of the game last year in week 4. When the offenses just went back and forth, touchdown, 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 touchdown. That's how it was at the end of the game yesterday. Really made for an exciting second half. You just didn't know where it was going to end. You know, defensively, I think you kind of expected that to some degree from Miami, which was shorthanded due to injury. But then, you know, the Bills lose a couple of defensive ends to injury in the second half. You know, they've got backups playing in the secondary. Setting the edge in the run front was a problem. Some run plays got out of the gate on the edges there, which you don't typically see from a Bills defense. So that's going to have to be corrected this week, and it kind of led to some gains. I was just so surprised how Miami's offense was so effective and efficient with the dink and dunk game. They really didn't try to stretch the field at all yesterday and really didn't have to, because a lot of their – you know, throws to the flat and screen plays were effective in moving the sticks for them on a consistent basis.
The Dolphins sticking to the run game in this game, Chris, how demoralizing it must be from their standpoint, because it felt like that's the game plan they've wanted to execute against the Bills in the past. They finally get it, and they just still can't win here. Like, it's no matter what game plan style they come out with, the Bills just continue to have their number.
Yeah, they just can't get past them. And there are teams like that that for stretches will just have your number. And, I mean, I think it's safe to say that the Bills have the Dolphins number. I mean, they haven't won here since 2016, and you know, that was an overtime game, and the Bills had 10 players on the field, and Jay Ajayi's running down the sidelines. You know, that's a previous coaching regime. I mean, Sean McDermott's never lost to the Dolphins at home. It's just, it's crazy to say that, knowing he's in his eighth season. And, you know, we should probably also mention that Sean McDermott, now at 80 wins, becomes the 13th head coach in league history with 80 victories in his first eight seasons. And if you look at that list, there's four Hall of Famers and probably five other guys that are going to the Hall of Fame. So it's pretty prestigious company.
Bills able to get through a number of injuries in this game. You mentioned the guys that went out. No Christian Benson, no Christian Benford, no Amari Cooper. With the Cooper side of it, Chris, do you feel like you could tell that they were missing him? It's only been two games with him. Sample size is small. Matchups matter. But no Cooper on the outside, it's not something I think I want to experiment with for too long.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. It kind of felt as though the passing game was feeling its way without Cooper in the first half. I mean, maybe that's not the main reason that they ran into some struggles, but I feel it did play a factor. And then, you know, once again, halftime, trying to reset the table and coming out effective in the second half again was encouraging. I just, the red zone was a particular problem in the first half because, you know, you had a situation where you go 0-for-3 in the red zone the first half, you're fortunate to only be down 10-6. That was where I feel Miami really had a chance to put a dagger in the Bills, and they didn't do it. And they ended up paying for it in the end. But, yeah, you got to hope Cooper's okay. Wrist injuries suddenly are the soup du jour for the Bills' injury list because DeJuan Smoot goes out with a wrist injury yesterday. You already got Benford and Cooper with wrist injuries. You got Dwayne Carter on IR with a wrist injury that required surgery. So let's just hope that's the end of those.
Yeah, this is another game where, like, guys that are kind of depth pieces at this point end up making big plays for them. I mean, Morris is in the right spot on somehow Allen getting that ball to him. And Matt Collins maybe has his best day because he caught every target that was thrown his way. But Chris, like, Ray Davis's play, I mean, that's such an impressive run by him after the catch. And it just kind of feels like no matter who is in there at running back, like, and for fans, maybe this is true. Like, in the past, it's, oh, why is this guy in? Why are we in this formation? Why is this running back in? And right now, no matter who's in the ball game at running back, it just feels like all three are doing pretty well. And they're all kind of their own different version.
Yeah, they're doing a great job. And they probably haven't gotten enough credit. They have been touchdown machines for this team. I mean, all three of them have had multiple touchdowns. I think Ty Johnson only has receiving touchdowns. I don't know if he's got a rushing touchdown yet this season. Maybe he does. But they've all impacted the game on the ground and through the air. So it's a great collection of talent there. And they've all helped through the course of the season. And I almost kind of thought about it on the way home from the game. You know, the longest scoring play in James Cook's career is the 49-yard touchdown that he ran against Miami in week two, down, you know, for his third touchdown of the game against them. And then Ray Davis rips off a 63-yarder. Granted, it was a reception, but I don't know. This trio of backs, I don't think they're getting enough credit. They've been outstanding, like, from the jump when the season started.
Chris, I'll be the first one to use this phrase that I do not subscribe to. I'm going to put that out there. But, you know, the Colts this week, the Chiefs next week. Trap game, I'm sure. On your show, you'll hear it. We'll hear, you know, the idea, like, overlooking. But that's not something I feel like I ever worry about with a Sean McDermott team or a Josh Allen team. It just, they don't seem to trip in these spots, knock on wood. You know, get the job done, Indianapolis, whatever happens at quarterback, we'll wait to see. But I'm not going to be worried about that, even though I'm sure we'll have to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll have to maybe most importantly examine the health of the roster this week first, and then try to assess how things could shake out in the game on Sunday. I will say this. I think when a team wins games and goes on a winning streak, I think it's harder for players when they're winning to keep their nose to the grindstone because you're feeling good. Yeah, you weren't perfect. And maybe the nature of the game being a close one will keep them squarely focused on the next game in front of them. It's hard not to think, though, that that Chiefs game looms large, especially if they win tonight and improve to 8-0. So, I don't know. You want to say keep your eyes on the next one only. I think when you're ripping off 3-4 wins in a row, and you know they've got 2 3-game winning streaks already, and now this one's at 4. Yeah, you would hope they learned their lesson from earlier in the season when they won 3 in a row and then got waxed for 2 straight weeks.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's the lesson learned, and they don't go down that path again.
Chris Brown on the Wester Hotline. Thanks, Chris. We'll chat on Friday.
All right, have a good day, guys.
Chris Brown, his appearance brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. I have not looked to see what the spread is in this game yet. Do you know?
For the Bills and the Colts?
Bills and Colts. I could check it.
I would guess it's going to be Bills minus 6.
6 or 7?
They're on the road, right? Like, you're not going to think it's going to be too drastic. Let's see. All right. Ooh, a little off. Bills minus 4.5.
Okay.
4.5
points. I like the Bills on that. Hey, before we let you go, be caller 5 to win a pair of tickets to the Shorzy Fall Classic at KeyBank Center Wednesday, November 13th. Courtesy of AEG Presents, visit Ticketmaster.com to get your tickets. Caller 5 to 716-2214-WGR. Pair of tickets to the Shorzy Fall Classic at KeyBank Center.
Fakes the handoff, rolls to his right, looking to pass, now gets hit as he throws, and it's caught in the end zone by Quinton Morris. His first catch of the season goes for a touchdown.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.